this episode, I talk with my friend and fellow horror fan, Sheila Marie. She's a killer horror cosplayer and a huge supporter of the Mahoning Drive-In Theater. We talk about old school horror and the great Mahoning Drive-In. If you dig this episode, make sure you leave me a rating on Apple or Spotify. That'd be greatly appreciated. After you're done with this episode, make sure you check out my fellow horseman of the podcast apocalypse, Everything Went Black podcast, Into the Necrosphere, The Necromaniacs podcast, Break the Apocalypse, Ibis Manifestations, and the Soul Knox podcast. And once again, thanks so much for listening and hope you dig this one. All right. Well, thanks for being on the podcast. This is pretty cool. And it's kind of been a long time coming, I think. So.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me, Brandon. I love any opportunity to talk about spooky stuff in general.
Yeah. And well, we've been Instagram friends for maybe 2 years now, or I don't know. It's been a little while, though.
Yeah, it has been. I was trying to remember the first time we started chatting, but yeah, we always have these fun little back and forths about what movies are watching or any fun like horror updates or fun horror events. But yeah, it's great to finally have a one-on-one conversation too.
Yeah, that's the cool thing with like the whole podcast and stuff. You know, I've been able to reach out to people that, you know, being so far away from certain people, like you can actually get out there and contact them, you know, get more like, you know, voice time, which is cool, you know, so. Yeah, this has been really cool. I think at the first time I found your profile was like I was scrolling through somewhere or saw on somebody else's profile. I think it was you had like the Driller Killer thing going on for the horror cosplay, which was really badass.
Oh, yes. Thank you. It's funny. I feel like thanks to me making these like fun creative horror cosplays, I've gotten a chance to make some more online friends. I think the biggest ones that get some fun reactions are when I've done one for the Driller Killer for Slumber Party Massacre Part 2, and then of course also I've done a horror cosplay for Slumber Party Massacre the original, which is really cool, and I just have a lot of fun making them. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
That's a good question. I feel like I've been kind of like toying around with like dressing up for like horror events since I started doing it for Rocky Horror Picture Show. So I want to say maybe it was like 10 years ago, I started having fun going to like one of those fun live screenings where you can dress up and they have a cast actually perform in front of the screen. And they do it at the famous Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, PA. And so I started doing like, you know, I would dress up, and like I think my first year I dressed up as Eddie, played by Meatloaf, and I did like a female Eddie version of it, and it was really cool seeing like people's reactions, and they picked me up on stage for like being in the top 5 best costumes for that, and I love any excuse to dress up and get creative. I love arts and crafts, and I get to combine all of that and just like pay tribute to fun horror characters. And then over the pandemic is when I got more seriously into it. So I saw that there was not, as you recall, not much was going on during those days.
Right.
But there happened to be an event going on for Monster Mania Con was being hosted at the Mahoning Drive-In Theater, which is this wonderful beacon for many folks involved and interested in like horror, and not just horror, but just anything that's just kind of niche and odd. And they play a lot of fun like cult films. So I looked that they had this event there for Halloween, and I said, oh, I absolutely want to go, and I'm going to dress up because they have a costume contest. And immediately my brain just went to the Driller Killer for Slumber Party Massacre Part 2 and that amazing guitar. And so I had all this extra time in my hands, and I said, I'm going to make this. And not only that, I'm going to make sure that the drill actually works. And so I just did a lot of like toying around and posting about it. And I got some fun, you know, reactions from people, really encouraging stuff. And I just kept like trying to problem solve how to make it work. And then got this awesome fringe motorcycle jacket to go along with it. And then I just kind of put it together, and it was so much fun. And that just like ignited something in me and like going all in for horror cosplay since then. So that was kind of like the thing that ignited it all.
Did you also get featured in like a magazine or something with that cosplay as well?
Oh, good question. So it wasn't for the Driller Killer for Slumber Party Massacre Part 2. It's when I did Russ Thorne for Slumber Party Massacre, the original. So I decided to be him for an event at Mahoning. Every Labor Day weekend, they have what's called Camp Blood, where they do a lot of like slasher movies. And one of the movies being played was Slumber Party Massacre. So clearly I had to do it. I had to do Russ Thorne. So when I was there, I had the actual like big drill. I just obviously didn't plug it in. And then the editor in chief from Fangoria, who's the coolest dude, his name is Phil Noble Jr. He took a picture of me and shared it off of Fangoria. And he and I kind of like have like talked back and forth. He's a really great guy. And so Fangoria reached out to me to do like this fun little like first page of their magazine where it's like just like promoting cosplayers. So I got to be on an issue of Fangoria with a couple pictures of my cosplays that I've done.
Wow. Yeah, that's badass. And yeah, Phil Noble's awesome. He pretty much bought back Fangoria, if I'm not mistaken, from, you know, being nothing because it was gone for a while. And yeah, I mean, that's a hell of an achievement, you know, to be in the magazine like that. It's fucking cool.
Yes. Thank you. I feel so cool. Like, I'm like, is this real life? Like, so I have the issue here. It's in a very safe place, of course, when we have visitors, in case they want to see, I gladly show them. And yeah, I love all the stuff that Fangoria has been doing these days. It's always cool to see what projects are like, what connections they're doing. So yeah, I'm very glad that Phil's involved. It seems like a really cool place to work and connect with. So I'm excited to see what else they come out with. But yeah, I feel super lucky to be on that little section of that first page there.
It's cool though. You're like immortalized forever, you know. I mean, you can't get much better than that. And then it's Fangoria. I mean, how cool is that, right?
I know. Honestly, it still blows me away that like I consider myself a horror fan, but I know there's people out there who are like all in. I think that's super cool and support that. But it really means a lot to me when big horror fans recognize what I'm doing and give me some props. You know, those people like you can walk doing around in a con doing an 80s like horror B movie cosplay, and some people they'll like smile and like take a picture and they'll be like, oh, what are you? And I never take it as a bad thing. I always love sharing the love. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to tell you about this movie. You gotta watch it. But it's extra special when a fan looks at you and knows exactly who you are and calls you by that character name and like says, I've never seen this cosplay before. This is so cool. And then we get to talk about the movie and our favorite parts. So it always means a lot to me when big horror fans get it and enjoy it.
That's cool. And what you're doing too, like spreading the horror out there to like a younger generation, especially with the, like the older cosplays you do and stuff like that, like you're exposing these like, you know, new kids to like really cool older horror movies that they probably wouldn't know about, you know, without that. So I think that's really awesome.
Oh, that's so kind of you to say, Brandon. It's funny. Like there's like a, I'm clearly not like an online influencer or anything, but I do have like people on my Instagram that love to, you know, chat and see what movies I'm watching. And there's one particular person I could think of. He's a really cool dude and he's much younger. And he will say, oh my gosh, I saw this movie because you did that character. Or, oh, I saw that you posted that you watched this movie and I totally had to watch it too. And it's really nice to know that, yeah, you get to like share the love with like younger people.
Yeah, I love doing that between like the podcast or just like social media stuff that I do, like just having people like, man, I never knew this existed and stuff. I'm like, yeah, now you do. Like, enjoy, you know, it's so cool. Like people find like these hidden treasures that they didn't know about, because there's so many films like from the 90s, from the 80s, even from like the early 2000s that a lot of people haven't seen just because, you know, it gets kind of buried over time. So it's cool to like expose these people, these killer films that they didn't know about.
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad that you have the same mentality, Brandon, because gatekeeping is in every fandom. But I really am not into like that attitude of like, oh, you've never seen this. Like, how could you like totally not get to see this movie? That's no fun and that's no fair. We all have reasons we might have missed certain movies. Like, I still will, you know, have no shame in saying, you know, there's this, you know, a movie that I haven't seen. There's no shame in that. I think, why not share the love and the excitement about this genre and all the subgenres that come along with it? Gatekeeping is for turds. No thanks.
100% agreed on that. Yeah, gatekeeping's fucking stupid. And I come from the metal world as well as like the horror stuff, you know what I mean? And there's a gatekeeping in both sides of those. Like, and I just think it's stupid, you know, like you like what you like. And if you haven't seen something, you know, there's a good chance to get exposed to it and like you enjoy it and not be like shunned about it or whatever, you know?
Oh, I love that. Especially with, yeah, I definitely name three bands, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Yeah, three songs. I see you're wearing a shirt. It says Harley Davidson, name three songs.
And I'm the worst when it comes to lyrics. And I love, I mean, I like the metal bands that I've seen and fucking listened to over the years. It's like in the thousands and stuff. I'm still really horrible with fucking lyrics. So it's like, what's the lyric to this one? Like, I don't fucking know. You know, I forgot. You know,
yeah.
It's just like the small details don't mean you're not a fucking fan, you know?
Wholeheartedly agree, because I just make up lyrics and they're many times they're nonsensical, but they fit.
That's great. And yeah, And this is cool seeing like the younger generation of fans of like horror movies and stuff like out there, like, you know, doing their thing and stuff. Because a lot of the newer stuff that comes out now for like, you know, more their generation, I guess, is kind of like, you know, their Chucky or their, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that. Like, you know, is this cool to see that, you know, it's still going on? Like horror is like stronger than ever now, if you ask me. So.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's like, I can't keep up with all the new stuff that comes out, but that's okay. I don't need to, because I'll just pay attention to what people are saying and, you know, go from there. And yeah, you're right. It's really exciting to see like the trajectory of the genre and like all the different creative and increased diversity in all aspects of horror that I'm really enjoying too. So it's really just, It's great to see that there's also more money being put into it. So you see those bigger budget movies, but they're really good quality. Yeah, I'm really digging all the new stuff that's coming out. I'm excited to see every year like what else comes out of it and all the creativity that comes from that art.
Yeah, totally. What are some things you're watching now that's kind of like noteworthy?
Ooh, good question. As you probably know from my, I tend to watch older stuff, definitely like to watch tapes, but newer stuff, really excited to, I haven't seen it yet. I actually saw that it's on Peacock, so I'm making it a note to watch it tomorrow. Cocaine Bear, I'm dying to see.
Yeah, me too.
I saw that it's on Peacock streaming, so I'm definitely going to take advantage of that tomorrow. In terms of newer horror, I also really want to watch the new Evil Dead that's going to come out next weekend. For shows, I've been watching Yellow Jackets, which is really dark and awesome. I'm also digging the soundtrack because it takes place in the 90s.
Definitely.
Brandon, now you're making me scroll through my letterbox to see what newer stuff. Also, if anybody, we follow each other on a letterbox. I love seeing what people watch. It gives me ideas too. Let me see what I got in my diary here. A lot of older stuff. Oh, I'm looking. Man, everything is from the 80s or 90s, Brandon.
I mean, that's pretty much what I do like on a weekly basis. I do watch a lot of the new stuff, but I'm always back into like especially the 90s, because, you know, I'm really a 90s kid, because I'm gonna be 38 this year, I think. You kind of lose track after a certain age.
Me
but
too.
Yeah, the 90s like hold a like special place in my heart, especially when it comes to like horror movies and some of the like dark comedies of the 90s.
Oh, absolutely, totally agree. Yeah, so I've been looking at stuff, a lot of older stuff, just like you also were the same age, so I totally can relate. I saw Knock at the Cabin, and I saw it maybe like 2 weeks ago. I really dug it because it was one of those movies that I just kept thinking about it a lot afterwards, and I wanted to like listen to podcasts about it. And so when a movie does that, I think it's really fun because you start to like listen to different analysis. One of my favorite things to do is to like after I watch a movie, I look up if there's any podcasts about it, because I really love queer and also feminist analysis of horror movies. So like getting to hear more about those lens, about looking at like readings and interpretations of different horror movies. So after I watch, that's my little ritual, is then just like check out what's out there, what people have to say and discuss about it, and give some new like symbolism or interpretations about things or analysis that makes your brain work.
Yeah, that totally. That's pretty much what I do too when I get done with the movie. But I usually go on a internet movie database, or I go to Letterboxd and read people's reviews, or then or I just like deep dive the movie, like who's in it, who directed it. You know, I like to look up facts on different new horror movies, even old ones and stuff, like weird facts and everything. So I kind of go down the rabbit hole with film, you know.
Yes. Oh, my favorite thing is when you go on IMDb and there's like a shit ton of trivia. Yes, like I could fall asleep reading trivia on this 1992 slasher straight to
video. That's the best. You find out so much stuff you didn't know. Like, I think you can still add new stuff to the trivia section too. So you might have read it like a few years ago, then you go back to it, some new stuff got added to it, you know, after like a good rewatch, and like, oh, I didn't know that, you know. It's like, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. It's always nice to like check in after a little bit to see what else is updated. I remember another show, obviously, that everyone's talking about is Last of Us. I thought that was just done so beautifully, and I'm excited to see how it goes. I don't want to give any spoilers, but I highly enjoyed that. I mean, it had definitely horror, but just like so much heart and the writing and the acting. So yeah, definitely into that one as well.
Yeah, that was solid. I played the game, but I never beat the game. But, you know, from what I played, like comparing that to like the TV show, I think they really nailed it.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, I've heard like people who are fans of the game can are giving props to the show. So that's always good too when they line up.
Yeah, definitely. And even if you're not even like a gamer or anything like that, like just the show on its own holds up by itself, like superbly, you know. It's fucking, it's really good, and it's got a lot of emotion to it and stuff, and the acting's really good, and everything about it's pretty killer. So
yeah, like if a show makes me sob like a baby after, you know, the credits roll at the end, I know it's good. All I'm gonna say is episode 3, that's it.
Oh yeah, that's a heart wrencher there for sure.
Yeah,
I think one of the more recent films that come out, I think it was a few years ago now, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that really kind of pulled at my emotions a little bit was the movie Pig with Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
Yeah.
God. I know this is not a spoiler. This is not a spoiler show, correct?
Oh, yeah. You can spoil whatever. Yeah, it's good.
First of all, I love Nicolas Cage. He's the only man that is tattooed on my body, and I have a lot of tattoos. Oh.
Badass.
I have a tattoo of Nicolas Cage from from one of his movies, and it's, yeah, so I absolutely adore him. But yeah, I saw that movie Pig, and I wasn't sure what to expect, but I really enjoyed it, and definitely was, again, that's one of those movies I was like, I can't wait to hear what people have to say about this, or just like analysis about it. But yeah, that was definitely a good one. Trying to think of others that made me have that same guttural reaction. There's a few, but you know.
Going back to Nicolas Cage, I got that same feeling. And my favorite movie that hasn't been beat so far, like my favorite movie ever, and that's saying a lot, and that's Mandy. Like Mandy is fucking insanely, like, it's got a lot of crazy emotional, you know, things going on there. It's just a powerful movie, you know.
It is. And my awesome partner David has been encouraging me to watch that director's other movie. And I started watching it and I didn't get to finish.
Beyond the Black Rainbow?
Yes, Beyond the Black Rainbow. So I have to watch that because I would like to compare and contrast that to Mandy. But I really enjoyed Mandy, and just like the imagery in that movie is very striking, and the cinematography and just like the colors is very, yeah. And of course that bathroom, you know, cage rage scene was something to behold.
Right. Yeah. And that whole movie was kind of designed for Nick Cage, you know, it's like, all right, Nick Cage, just go ahead and release everything. Like, let's see the cage rage there. And like, you know, it was just the perfect spot for him to do his thing, you know?
Yes. When you see that perfect alignment between the writing like the topic and Nick Cage, and they just mesh so beautifully. You know, it's a great piece of art.
It really is. Yeah.
I have to say though, I have a few favorite Nick Cage movies. Like I said, I have a tattoo of him. It's from his character in Vampire's Kiss.
Oh, nice. Good
one. But I have to say Face Off and Con Air. I don't care how many times I've seen it. If it's on TV, I will watch it. I have to watch this.
Yeah, Face Off's a good one. I'm a big Nick Cage fan too. Like, there's not many things I don't like him in, really. Like, if he's in there, I'm at least going to like give it a watch, you know? Like, it's just Nick Cage or something about him. And he's like, you know, he was the man in the 90s, and now he's made like a, you know, he's back again doing really cool shit. So it's just good to see.
It is good to see. I'm glad that he's getting the type of projects that he's getting now. And so he just had a, was it on GQ magazine? He had a spread last year, and he just looks so cool. Like his outfits. I mean, he has an iconic pink leather jacket look that he was like walking around last year, and like, he's just such a cool dude.
Yeah, he's just himself, you know. He's not trying to be like what's popular now. He's just is him, you know, and that's what's so cool about it, you know.
Yeah. And speaking of metal, his one kid is in a metal band, right? I think it's a
I think it is a black metal band. I did know the name, I just can't recall it off the top of my head right now, but yeah.
Well, I gotta give it a listen.
There's another famous celebrity who's a kid's in a metal band. Kevin Bacon. His son's I think his son's a bass player. No, he's a guitar player, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% on this, but anyways, he was in a really killer band for a small period of time called Black Anvil, black metal band from New York. And I think he's in a different band now, but. Like, it's just cool knowing that Kevin Bacon's son's in a metal band and, you know, playing good metal. That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. I'm not as, I'm very picky, like my awesome partner David tells me so, about metal. And I am always willing to listen, though. I do like some more death metal. Black metal, I still haven't really found, like, the groove of like what specific like subtype, but I'll give it a listen. I never say no to trying something new.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to Black Anvil. I think you would dig them. There's a lot of good melody there and stuff, and it is considered black metal, but I mean it's a lot of groove there too. And I'm more of a black metal. I like, you know, death metal fan. I'm also into like doom and sludge metal and all that kind of stuff too. And I also like, you know, fucking electronic music. I like, you know, Drab Majesty is one of my favorite bands. That's like a total opposite of what I usually listen to, you know what I mean? But, you know, The Cure, stuff like that, like new wave. So,
oh, well, then we have more overlapping interests, Raymond, because I'm a big fan of Drab Majesty and all the waves. dark wave, cold wave, goth wave, all that good stuff. New wave, obviously. So good.
Yeah, a lot of that inspired me to do the, I don't know if you heard my the synth album. I think I may have sent you a link for Brax's Horn. Did you ever listen to that?
Yes, I did. And I was totally digging it. I remember listening to it and responding to you about it. I appreciate that you shared it with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love getting it out there and like hearing good responses and everything. And that was a total different thing for me because, you know, I played metal for like 20 years of my life. So I've never done anything with like keyboards and synthesizers. So it was a cool experiment. I'm going to continue to grow that too. Like I've already got works of some, there's already like different projects in the works for, you know, Brax's Horn and stuff. So I'm gonna continue that and hopefully one day get that into a horror movie. That'd be great.
That's so cool. Best of luck to you. And yeah, I'd love to listen to the other stuff you create. I love a good branching out. Good for you, dude.
Yeah. It's good to change things up every now and again, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. One thing I want to ask you about, you do a lot with the Mahoning Drive-In, and I want to go there. I have not been there, and I've been offered to come up that way before and stuff, but like, yeah, that seems pretty badass, and I see you do a lot of support for them, so.
Yes, oh, I'm so glad that you asked me about them. There's something, and I talk to friends about this who go, there's something magical about that place. I can't really articulate it very well, but I just, when you step foot in there, it's like your happy place. So this is the country's biggest single screen drive-in movie theater. So America's largest single screen drive-in movie theater. And this is in, it's in the Poconos, in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, in the middle of like nowhere. And it's, you just go in there and there's just one giant drive-in screen. That's it. And then there's a structure with like a building that has the snack bar. And then there's like a wall of tapes that you can just purchase any, or you can donate to the wall. And there's, the people who work there are just wonderful people. They're friendly. They're always like great to chat with. And then they hold these amazing movies. They do like, sometimes they'll do a whole theme weekend of like a different thing. Like, for example, they'll do like a weekend of, they do weird weekends. So they'll do like John Waters movies or a bunch of like weird cult cinema, or every Memorial Day weekend, they have what's called Zombie Fest. So all the movies have a theme of like horror and like the undead. They have like actors come in and special guests, and they'll sign things and do appearances. They're just, it's just a wonderful place with people who truly love that lot. And you make so many friends there. You know, you pull your car in, you get snacks at the snack bar, you pull out your camping chairs, and then you just like snack and have the best time with your pals watching movies and being with like-minded folks. I can't praise them enough for all the hard work that they do and just all the wonderful memories that they allow us to have in that space. And a couple of years ago, they were in trouble with like ownership of the lot and everything, but luckily everyone pulled together and did fundraising and a lot of like advocacy, and they were able to save the Mahoning because there was a possibility that they were going to get shut down and then developers were going to do stuff there. But luckily they were saved, and now we get to enjoy our spring, summer, and fall season there, which is a blast. And they're actually going to open up for this season in 2 weeks. So I'm really excited. We got tickets already. The first opening weekend, they always have the same double feature of Wizard of Oz and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And then on Sunday, though, they're playing Freaked. And listen, 90s movies, they're playing Freaked. I'm so stoked. So we're going to go for the Freaked showing.
Oh, that's going to be good. That's total old school, like, you know, crazy ass horror and stuff. And seeing it in a drive-in theater like that's going to be awesome.
Definitely. I didn't even mention, like, they have people who create the most wonderful photo ops there, too. So shout out to JT, head of production there. They will make, like, really fun, big, life-size, like, photo ops, like, with backgrounds based about the theme of the movie. Or when they, and, like, when they do, like, trauma, which is like trauma movie weekend, they have like a big like a background where you can take photos like from one of the trauma movies. So there's just so much creativity and love and like-mindedness there, and it's a great safe space for people, and it's so lovely to go and catch up with folks who come from who come from a long way sometimes just to go see a movie there.
That's killer. I'm glad you're like keeping the horror alive like that. And especially as old school as that is, I just think there's something really magical about a drive-in, you know, like it's so fucking cool.
It really is. Have you ever been to a drive-in movie theater, Brandon?
I've been into it wasn't technically a drive-in. It was more like a pop-up type drive-in, but it was still really cool. It was a Halloween, like shit, maybe 12 years ago now. And I saw The Exorcist outside. Ooh. So technically it was a drive-in.
Yeah,
That shit was really fucking awesome, especially seeing it on Halloween and watching people's reactions to seeing The Exorcist for the first time, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, that sounds like a blast. Yeah, there's nothing like it. You can't really describe it. Just being outside and then it's in the middle of the mountains too, Mahoning. So you're just like, the stars look so beautiful out there when you look up too. Like you look up and they're so clear because there's not the kind of light pollution where we live. So it's just, like I said, it's magical. And if you get a chance to go, Brandon, let me know. We'll have to meet up. If you're a big VHS collector, I have to say VHS Fest is a wonderful event to try to make it to at Mahoning. It's a whole weekend. They have vendors, people swapping VHS, and all the movies have to do with are either like shot on video or just like big VHS loved movies. It's being held in July this year.
Nice. Yeah, I would love to make that. That'd be cool. So, and it's on my definitely on my radar to make it to the theater and stuff. For like, I wanted to do it back when Joe Bob was doing his stuff out there. I think he did like the Jamboree. I don't know if he still does the Jamboree out there. I think he does, right? Or
oh yeah, that was a great weekend. That was like a special event that he did it 2 summers ago. I don't think he does it every year at Mahoning, but I wouldn't be surprised if something got set up again at Mahoning with him. I know he's actually doing he's doing like a little tour. He's coming around where we live and we're going to go see him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing off my list I want to do is go see Joe Bob talk or just, you know, go to any of his like events. I think that'd be fucking cool. I've been trying to get him on the podcast. I'm on the list, so it eventually happened. I just don't know when, you know. It's Joe Bob. He's super busy, and I understand, so.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I hope hopefully you'll get pulled off the list soon. And talk about resurgence. Wow. Us being the same age, almost 30, going to be 38 this year as well. I remember Monster Vision and like flipping the channels in the 90s at night and seeing him on TNT and just like checking out what's going on there. And it's really cool that like this huge resurgence has come back for, you know, for him and just that type of culture and seeing what comes from it. Also his on Shudder, that really fun series that he does is going to come back on. I think next Friday it's back on for the summer.
Yep, next Friday is the new season. I'm looking forward to that. And it's like, oh, it's so good. But I always get so sad when it's over, you know, like, damn it, I got to wait another year. But then he throws in like the specials too, which is really cool. So
I feel the same way. I have to say, like, that's at the drive. What is it called? Is it at the drive-in? I think that's the formal.
It's the last drive-in with Joe Bob.
That's right.
Yeah.
Drive-in is a band. That's a really good band. The last drive-in on Shudder. that like totally helped me get through the pandemic. I remember like I was so excited for Friday nights. I would like make a homemade pizza and just like sit back in my jammies, eat the pizza and see what fun. I love the surprise of not knowing what the movies are until until you tune in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that part. It also helped me through the pandemic too. Like I was doing like the live tweeting stuff they would do with like Darcy and everything, be on Twitter and doing the live tweets. And also I'd be on Twitter and also on Instagram, like throwing stuff out. Like, I don't know, just like, you know, chatting with people. Like I think Barbara Crampton tweeted back at me. Felissa Rose did that before, you know, doing these like live tweets. I'm like, that's so fucking cool.
Oh my gosh, how cool is that? I have a crush, an eternal crush on Barbara Crampton. That's so cool. You heard back from her.
And she's eternal.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about the Beyond in that scene? Oh my gosh.
She's the best. She doesn't age either. Like she stopped aging like years ago. I think she could be a vampire.
I wouldn't be surprised. She's gorgeous, timeless. Was it Your Next is when you saw her? We saw her come back after a while of not being on the screen, and I was just like, yes, she's back.
Yeah, she's back and better than ever. You know, she did a. Her role in Jacob's Wife was really killer. I enjoyed that one.
Oh, I have to see that. That's on my watch list. Thank you for reminding me. I need to.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good stuff about it.
Yeah, Jacob's Wife. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Bonnie Ahrens was in that too, playing the main vampire. So, and Bonnie Ahrens is fucking really awesome.
Yeah.
She played Valak in a. What was it, The Nun? And she was also like, her most famous role for me was like a little split second thing in Mulholland Drive where she plays like the hobo is what they call it. But it's like this really scary scene in Mulholland Drive where she's sitting outside of a restaurant and the two guys walk out and she just kind of comes around this corner. And it's like terrifying. It's one of the most terrifying scenes in anything. So
yes, the famous like jump scare. Wow. Mm-hmm. Her and jump scares. I love it.
And she's so nice. I got to talk to her last year. Oh, she is like the fucking coolest, and we've been staying in touch via like instant messenger every now and again and stuff like that. But she's just the fucking coolest, you know.
Well, that's so awesome. Where does she live? Where is she from?
I have no idea. I think California. I'm not sure on that, but I think California maybe.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. She's in show business, but that's so awesome. You get to have like make these cool like new connections and relationships with people. By getting a chance to just talk to them and hear them out and share your love.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's cool too, doing the podcast stuff. Like, I'm very introverted. I've only been extroverted when I'm up on stage, like playing guitar or something. Up there, I don't give a fuck about anything. You know, everything's, you know, I'm in my own world. But like out off the stage and stuff like that, like, I'm severely introverted. So like doing this, I can meet people, you know, under less stressful terms, I guess, you know, get to know them and stuff. So it's cool.
Absolutely. That's so cool that you found this outlet as a way for you to kind of branch out of your comfort zone of being an introvert.
Yeah, it's definitely helped. That's for sure. Because originally I started off writing horror reviews and all. We get like screeners in, and I still have the website up. It's horrorwolf666.com. I don't really update it too much except for the podcast gets updated on there. I just kind of ran out of steam reviewing movies, you know, because I was doing a lot of movies and a lot of stuff comes my way that isn't so good. And I still, you know, I want to watch and, you know, do it justice and stuff like that. And it just, I don't know, it kind of burnt me out on all that. I'm like, I don't want to do this no more. So I don't really write reviews. I do like a snippet or something on like Twitter or something like that, but I won't write a full review really anymore.
That is a lot of time and energy. It's funny you say that, because I was just thinking, like, I wonder how many people start a movie, aren't into it. How many of them just say, ah, fuck it, I'm turning this off? Or how many people are like, I have to push through? It used to be, I have to push through. And now I'm like, ah, time is short. I'm just going to have to say next to this one. What kind of person are you?
I used to be the type of person that would push through. I'm like, I got to finish this. I started, I got to finish it. But the older I've gotten, I'm like, I don't know, like in the first 30 minutes, if it hasn't got me yet and I can tell, you know, it's not my type of movie, I'm probably just going to watch something else. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, we're going to be 38. We got to make the most of our time.
I'm telling you, and I've wasted so much time on some really bad movies, not even bad in a fun way. I've watched some shit like, just melts your brain. I'm like, I can't do this no more.
Believe it. I'm a big fan of good, bad movies. Absolutely adore good, bad movies. But when it's a bad, bad movie, no, I can't. Ugh, no.
Yeah. I tell you a good, bad, bad movie. Well, it's actually a good, bad, bad, bad movie. It was the gore edition of Tammy and the T-Rex, like the gory version that came out when they redid it and stuff. I thought that was fucking cool. And it was kind of a hidden gem for me because I'd never seen it when I was younger. That, you know, it was all new to me.
I only saw it for the first time 2 years ago when it was on The Last Drive-In. And I always heard about it, but I never got around to watching it. And holy shit, now you're inspiring me to watch the gore edition. Because I don't think they showed the gore edition.
I think that was the gore edition. I think so. I'm not 100%, but I think it was.
Because there was that scene of spoiler alert, when he's like flattened and they drag his body. And I laughed so hard. I think that is, yeah. I would figure that would be the gore edition. But yeah, that is a really fun movie. I'm so glad I got to finally watch it.
What's one of your favorite bad good movies?
Oh, I have to say one of them is Prom Night 2, Hello Mary Lou. It's just so bonkers good. I just absolutely adore it. And I don't even know it's fair to call it a good bad movie. It's just out there, and I love that about it. There's just so many funny parts. So first of all, I loved it so much that I did a cosplay of Mary Lou, and I made my own possessed horse, and I took it to Monster Mania Con. And actually, Darcy from Joe Bob's, you know, excuse me, Darcy from the Last Drive-In, famous Darcy, she saw my cosplay there because she was doing like, you know, signings and stuff. And she said that it was the best cosplay she's ever seen, and I almost passed out. It's like, oh my god, yeah. So I love this movie so much because it has everything I want. It has like ridiculous special effects. It has like storylines that don't really connect but are still so interesting and hilarious. They have like 50-year-olds playing high schoolers. I don't want to give it away to people who might be interested in watching it because I don't want to spoil it for them, but it's so much fun. They're actually doing a showing of the 35mm print of it in my local area in a couple weeks, and I'm excited to go. I might even try to cosplay for it again, but that would be one of my tops. Definitely love that type of, like, just, you know, one of those great Canadian 80s horror productions.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. And obviously I love, I'm trying to think like what other like really fun ones, like it'll come to me, but we can keep chatting. Sorry. It's a little bit, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, am I talking too much?
No, you're great. No.
But yeah, that one's on my top list for sure.
I still like a lot. I know a lot of people fucking hate this movie, but I still kind of like Troll. I don't know. Is this because when I saw it when I was a kid, I think it made an impact on me how creepy it was. But I think like Troll was still like a really good, bad movie, you know?
Yes. I have to revisit Troll because I haven't seen it as recently as Troll 2, which is a whole other ball of wax. But now you're really helping me freshen up my watch list on Letterboxd, Brandon. That's what you're doing.
Nice. Yeah, I like doing that. Like, you know, getting more like oh, you forgot about this one. Oh, well, this one still exists. You know, it's cool. And then go back and revisit it and stuff. See what you feel about it now, being an adult. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a former Blockbuster employee, and
nice.
It's one of my, obviously if I worked at a mom and pop video store, it would have felt even cooler. But anyway, working at a video store was so much fun because that's all you get to do is you get to look at box art and you get to talk to people about movies. And now like thinking about it, you know, because I collect VHS now, and just like pulling out a box and remembering like, where was that? What shelf was that on? Where was I? And revisiting movies that I haven't seen in a long time and just getting that like wave of nostalgia and seeing how it holds up to you as a, you know, a 30 something year old compared to when you were 15 and popped it in for the first time. It's such a great experience. And I love that there's like, it's almost limitless for how many movies you can do that with. We're living in the golden age. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, that's cool. You got to work at Blockbuster. I never got to work there. I always wanted to work there, but I just have a lot of really good memories of like Blockbuster, National Home Video, Hollywood Video. Like I really, really fucking miss them. You know, yeah, it's easy to turn on Netflix or Amazon Prime. You have so much shit at your fingertips, but you don't get to see the cool box art. You don't get like, you know, there's no physical presence of that movie, you know, like turning that box around, looking at the back of the box, see what the movie's about, you know, that magic experience there, you know, taking that risk because you don't know shit about this movie, just going off the artwork and stuff, you know.
That's so true. Like you know, you didn't have your smartphone to pull it up and see like what the rating is on IMDb. You just, all you had was the box art and the back of the box writing. That's it. And then you're going to risk those $4 and see if it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the best. And I'm like talking about like, you know, the younger generations, like they don't get to have that. But there are still places in this country where you can go and rent. And it's the best going in that situation. I was lucky enough to go on a nice little trip with my boo David, and we went to Portland, Oregon, and we also went to Seattle, and each of those two cities had a wonderful like video rental store, and it just like so many good feelings rushed through me as soon as I stepped foot and got to like browse the aisles and like pull out boxes and check out things I never even heard of. And like my favorite was checking out the shelf with like employee recommendations, and I'm like, oh my God, okay, Charles recommending this one, all right. You know, it was really nice. It just brought me back, and I hope that younger people take advantage of those who live near like a video rental place. I hope they can take it, you know, take advantage of that and get to experience that feeling.
Yeah, totally, because where I live at, we used to have like a little spot downtown, but it's way to fuck downtown. I hate driving downtown just because of parking situations and getting towed and all the other dumb shit. But we had a place down there that I was renting out videos for a while, but this was years ago and they closed down. So there is no video rental places like in a 50-mile radius from me now that I know of.
Oh, it's a bummer. Yeah. Well, yeah. Those few places are few and far in between. So I really hope. Support your local video rental store, listeners.
Yeah. I think right now, too, is like a prime time for them to make somewhat of a comeback. I've also heard like whispers of Blockbuster like on the move again, doing something. I don't know what it is, if you're going to do like a streaming service or they're going to like do more physical stores maybe, but I know there's something in the wind about that. And I think we really need that right now. I think that would be really cool.
Interesting. I'm curious to see what happens. Yeah. And just seeing like the trajectory of things. Yeah. There's a lot. I didn't hear about those whispers, but I'm curious where, you know, what's going on with that. But like I said, we're lucky enough to have lived through that and still get to, if we go on vacation or visit somewhere and see if there's something nearby worth stopping in. We used to have a place about half hour from here called Viva Video. And it was, I was lucky enough to check it out during, you know, the pandemic times. Unfortunately, they closed about a year and a half ago, but I got to experience it before they shut down. So it was cool. And yeah, it's just, it's a great vibe, and hopefully, you know, more places might even pop up. That would be pretty cool.
That would be. Right now, if you want to like find some, you might already know about this place. It's an online shop, but it's called Witter Entertainment, and they throw out like brand new VHSs, like brand new movies. Like I got a fucking badass like clam case of Mandy VHS, like the big giant box version, you know. They do like reissues of like this stuff or just brand new movies they throw straight to VHS, and their like presentation and everything is spot on.
What is it? What entertainment?
Witter Entertainment.
Okay. I'm writing this down.
They're teamed up with Broke Horror Fan. Like they're kind of in this together and stuff, and Broke Horror Fan's awesome. Really cool dude. Both of them are really nice people. I've had them on the podcast and stuff, but what they do for like VHS stuff is amazing. But you got to be fast getting the brand new ones when they come out, because they announce it like a month before, like be ready on this date. We're making a new announcement of this VHS is coming out. And like when I got the Mandy big giant box edition, like the fancy one, because they do different variants, you know. So I wanted the top variant for Mandy because I'm obsessed with that movie. So it literally sold out in like 30 minutes or something like that. It was crazy.
Well, that's a testament to how good the quality is. That's so cool. I'm glad you got your hands on it.
Yeah, I got that, and I also got a Willy's Wonderland box. I mean, giant big box VHS version of that one, which I also like a lot.
Oh, that was such a fun one.
Yeah, I think that one was pretty underrated. You don't hear a lot of people talk about it, but I think that was really good.
You're right. Not many people talk about it, and honestly, I can't picture someone other than Nick Cage doing that role.
That was perfect for him.
Yeah, I can't picture anyone else do that. He doesn't talk at all, and it's, and you don't even like realize, like it doesn't like stand out that much. It's just so fun. Yeah.
That movie brought back a lot of memories of Chuck E. Cheese back in the day. I don't know if you had a Chuck E. Cheese or Showbiz Pizza is what it was called before Chuck E. Cheese, where it had like the giant animatronic band playing and stuff. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I do. I remember clearly. For some reason, I thought the pizza was delicious, but I'm pretty sure if I were to try it now, I'm not sure I'd have that same opinion. My palate has developed since being an 8-year-old. But yes, I do. Chuck E. Cheese was the shit, especially for some birthday party where you get all the like a cup of tokens. You were like on cloud nine.
Yeah, that was the best. And I just remember the giant gorilla used to scare the shit out of me. I think he was the drummer. It was like a gorilla drummer. And I would go up on the stage because they didn't really care. You could walk all around there and stuff. I would go up there and like touch him and stuff. I'm like, I thought there was people inside suits playing those things when I was a kid, you know. Find out that it's not. It's so creepy.
It's very creepy. Like the way their eyes just kind of like move to the peripheral. And then like those weird jarred movements. No thanks.
I'm curious what happened to all those like animatronics. Who kept them, or did they just like burn them or something? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I was someone showed me a picture. There was like a comet. I'll send it to you. A really popular photo of like a landfill, and it's the animatronic Chuck E. Cheese, but he looks like he just like survived the apocalypse. He's like kind of torn and just like part robot, part mouse. Send it to you. It's a really like. Like a really intense photo, and you're like, oh man, if you put the right music to this is a horror movie right here.
I think there's a podcast I follow. I haven't listened to it in a while. It was called Creepy, and he would go over like I guess you call them creepy pastas or whatever, and like those like short stories and stuff. And there was one about an abandoned Disneyland type place, or it was a Disneyland and or Disney World in Florida. It was an abandoned facility and stuff, and there was like a a fucking haywire, like a Mickey Mouse animatronic that lived down in the basement and stuff. And it was all messed up. And if you went down there, he would attack you and stuff. It was supposedly a true story, no quotation marks around that, but kind of reminds me of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That sounds pretty creepy. I'd give it a go.
Yeah. I'm also a fan of the VHS. Like I was saying, I do collect. I don't collect heavy. I just do like special edition of, you know, stuff like the Mandy. I got like three different versions of Mandy on VHS. There's one off of eBay I got that was like a release day thing that was super limited. It was like a old school, like a mom and pop VHS release with like the clear box and everything like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I scored that off of eBay for a pretty good deal and stuff. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I collect when it comes to VHSs. I do have a really badass Friday the 13th, like very first like pressing or whatever of, you know, the VHS art and everything, like from whenever that came out back in the day. I have that like in pristine shape. I don't even touch it because I'm like, I don't want to fuck it up, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely when you keep on the shelf and you just get a double of it that's not as fancy and you watch the double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It would be horrible if my tape player ate it.
Oh, no. Yeah, you don't even risk that. That's the one that you just keep looking great on the shelf. I totally get it. That sounds fun. Some really good good collectibles there.
Yeah. And like I said, when you go to the Witter site, Witter Entertainment stuff, you're going to see like they did a Terrifier and I think Terrifier 2 release on VHS. There's a lot of like cool shit. I think the most recent one they did was a Child's Play documentary that just got released and they put that out on VHS.
Sweet. I wrote it down. I'm definitely going to give it a look and see what stuff is up. I always like to see physical media and see what cool like artwork people do and like connections they do to put out some fun movies like that. Especially because, you know, in general, tapes don't come out. It has to be like a special, you know, or if like the movie has something to do with that those decades, you know, that had tapes, or if it's like a special edition kind of thing. But it's always cool to see what's out there.
There's a Holy Grail VHS I want to get. I haven't really looked hard either on this, but I love the movie Cobra. Have you ever seen Cobra?
Wait, is that with Russell? Wait,
Sylvester Stallone?
Oh, Sylvester Stallone. I don't think I saw that. I'm looking it up on Letterboxd, but hit me with the info on that one.
Okay, yeah, Sylvester Stallone, like, I think he wrote that film, and actually, Panos Cosmatos' dad, the guy that directed Mandy and stuff, his dad directed Cobra, so it has a lot of the same weird colors of Mandy with, like, the reds and all that stuff, and kind of the purples, you know, that kind of artistic touch, I guess it runs in the family, and Cobra is so fucking good.
Oh, this artwork, Stallone's holding a gun, but he's also got one on his like waistband, and then he's got two grenades attached to his waistband, and he's got aviators and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. I'm sold.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's a scene where he's eating pizza. He eats pizza like you've never seen before. Like the way he eats a slice, I don't want to ruin it for you, but it's the most memorable part of the whole movie.
Just added it to my watch list. Many thanks on that one, Brandon.
And that one's streaming on if you got HBO Max, it's up there now if I'm not mistaken.
I do have HBO Max. I'll absolutely give it a watch. Thank you. I always love recommendations.
It's so good. You know, a lot of people know about that one, I don't think. And it's almost a horror movie. Like, it's an action movie at heart, but there's a lot of horror elements to it, especially it deals with, like, cults and all that stuff, too. Like, there's an end-of-the-world cult that he's kind of battling against. And it's got Brian Thompson in there, who's played like more villains than anybody I've ever seen. if you remember Brian Thompson, or not, you know him when you see him. Like, okay, I know that guy. He's been in everything. So this is really good. It's solid.
Totally. He's been in everything. Yeah. He was in the Terminator.
He was. Yes. And he's got that distinct look about him. You know, he just looks like a bad guy. I don't think he's ever played a good guy in anything.
I wouldn't be surprised if he never played a good guy. I love a good character actor. They don't get enough credit, those character actors.
I know. Yeah, totally. I'm not all about the leading person. I want to see, like, the character actors, you know. I want to see, like, you know, they get more heart than, like, the lead actors and stuff, you know.
Totally agree. And it's always fun to, like, watch a movie you haven't seen in a long, like we were talking about, like that you haven't seen since you were younger, and then pull it in, and then you're like, oh my gosh, it's this person, it's that person. You start to pick out the character actors that you recognize now that you're older and have watched a lot, and, you know, familiarize yourself more with them. It's a really fun little activity to do while you're watching an older movie.
Totally. What's your favorite decade of horror? 80s, 90s, now? Before?
I think I would gonna have to say 80s. I really love like 80s B movie, 80s slasher movies. I also love the subgenre of like metal and horror, like older 80s metal horror mashup kind of subgenre movies, like Trick or Treat and Black Roses.
Oh, you love Black Roses, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that, but I have to say, I have to give so much props to like the current newer horror movies that are coming out. There's so much creativity and going on right now. I think just also seeing like more diversity in like directors and writers currently and what comes from that. But if it's like a weeknight and I have a chance to put in a movie, chances are very high that it's going to be an 80s horror movie. I also like some 90s too, like that bridging that gap between the 80s and 90s, so like early mid 90s. But I would say that's my favorite decade.
What are some of your favorite 80s movies?
I mentioned a few. I would say like the ones I've mentioned, Slumber Party Massacre, part one and two. Also, I just love that these were directed and written by women. I love seeing like the character development. I love seeing the little nods to those Slumber Party Massacre movies, like all the nods to like the little jokes. Seeing the women have conversations. So like passing the Bechdel test is also a wonderful thing for me in horror movies. If the movie passes the Bechdel test, I'm super into it. I would also say I like also the first three Hellraiser movies, although the third one is a 90s movie. I also have done honestly, if I've done a cosplay of it, it means that I'm a big fan. So I've done Night of the Demons. Told you Prom Night 2, Hellraiser 2 I've done a cosplay for. I also like Hennenlotter movies. I think they're really fun and silly. Like Brain Damage, Frankenhooker, Basket Case, of course. What other 80s horror I'm really into? Definitely like, I think that's a pretty good little offshoot, I'm gonna say. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd obviously go through my letterbox and just start naming a bunch of shit, but I would say those are some big ones. Return of the Living Dead, of course, that one too. And The Beyond. And I think those are a few. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid list and a lot of good stuff. So many good stuff. I mean, so many good films came out in the '80s. It's crazy. You know, God damn.
I'm still finding out about movies that come from that decade that are like within my wheelhouse of interest. And I'm always like digging around too and seeing, you know, because like I said, I love that we're not gatekeepers. We're not into gatekeepers. And sometimes there's just a movie that I honestly just never got around to watching it. And so I'll make sure to hit that in my list of movies. And I definitely like, again, talking about the pandemic, that was a time where I was really able to knock some movies off my list and get myself more familiarized with certain genres. I wasn't really into like Italian horror and giallo. And then I all of a sudden got introduced to more of it maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was like, you know what? I'm taking this. And then I started to go on a little bit of like a black hole, like starting to watch some of those classics. And I still haven't gotten through a lot of those big popular classic giallos or Italian horrors, but I'm digging it. I'm like, feel like my tastes have evolved. So I'm starting to like explore movies that before I was like, yeah, I don't know that I want to watch it. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. Cause I'm starting to dig similar movies. So it's nice to kind of like evolve in that way. Cause then you start to have like a bigger threshold about what movies you want to give a watch.
Yeah, totally. And that's a genre, too, that I'm not really big on. And I'm still not that big on it, the giallo films and stuff. You know, I've seen a bunch of them, but nothing really hits me. You know what I mean? Like, it's never really been my thing, but I have total respect for it. I think it's cool. And they're still doing like kind of modern day giallos, you know, like there's like, you know, our versions of the US versions, I guess, that come out. What was that last one James Wan did? It was kind of a giallo-ish. Malignant. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that movie, because last night I was like flipping through movies. And I was like, I should rewatch this, because when I first saw it, I did not do any like digging or research, or so I didn't know what way to take the movie. And after watching it, I was like, that was pretty cool. And now I'm like, oh, I was going into it thinking it was like serious, and it wasn't like it, you know, it wasn't. I thought it was taking itself seriously. I'm like, why did I think that? Clearly it did not. You need to rewatch this with that mindset. So, but yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. I think I should give it another watch though, and with that mentality, and I think I'm going to enjoy it even more. But yeah, that's a good example of like a modern giallo.
Yeah. And I went in with the same mindset with that. I'm like, oh, this is called Malignant. I didn't really see any trailers for it. So I was like, all right, it's going to be like a supernatural like possession type movie, because you know, James Wan and stuff, I'm thinking Insidious and all that. And I went into it with a way different mindset, because what came out of it was, to me, it had like an early 2000s, late 90s feel to it when those kind of films came out. Like, it would work perfectly like pairing that with like House of Wax or something, like, you know, to remake a House of Wax or any of those like remakes that came out in the early 2000s. Like, that's the kind of feel it had. It didn't feel like a modern movie to me. It was weird. I didn't not like it. I was like, okay, it's not bad, you know. It's just, I didn't really know what it was going for at first, but now looking back, it's like, okay, there's a lot of humor in this, you know. It's not supposed to be serious.
Exactly. I think we both had the same experience, Brandon, which tells me that I'm going to take a close look at your letterboxed reviews and choices, because I feel like our interests are pretty similar, because I had the same thought about that. And it's funny you mentioned the remake of House of Wax, because I fuck with House of Wax remake. I don't
it's
care.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I remember watching it in the movie theater with my friend. I think we were, I don't know what, like 16, whatever the hell that was. And I'm just like, yeah, Paris Hilton. And now I'm like, oh, that was so silly and dumb of me. But like, gets killed. Oh, you know, it was just. It's a fun one. I've rewatched it recently. I'll say that, like, speaking of remakes, I really like the Evil Dead remake. So I'm curious, very new Evil Dead interpretation here. But yeah, some of those 2000s remakes, I'll totally fuck with them.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, my favorite of all the remakes that came out back then was the Texas Chainsaw remake, the first one. She was fucking killer. Like, even like some of my Texas Chainsaw like diehard fans would tell you that, you know, it was a damn good remake.
It was. I wholeheartedly agree with Jessica Biel, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was pretty brutal. And like, it was like the tension. Absolutely agree. I think that's one of the top remakes of, you know, of that like era of like 2000s remakes.
Yeah. It was so dark. I remember seeing that in the movie theater. I'm like, the brutality of it and stuff, you know, it was a lot gorier than the original Texas Chainsaw. Like, the original Texas Chainsaw didn't have any gore, but like maybe a little bit of blood here and there, but it just played with your, you know, with your fear and stuff. Like, with the remake, it was like this all out brutality, and it was shown on screen, you know. It was just, yeah. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Like, I rewatched it maybe like, I don't know, like a few months back, and I totally forgot like the very specific scenes, but that one scene, when the sheriff goes into the dead body in the car. It's so nasty.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, come on, help me here. Yeah, it's pretty graphic and gnarly, but definitely a good one.
Yeah, I miss those type of remakes. I know they've been remaking some stuff recently, like, well, in the past like 10 years, but they've been, I don't know, some of the remakes have been kind of weak. The Evil Dead remake was not weak or anything. I like that, but that's more of a reimagining, if I'm not mistaken, or, you know, that's it's not true. Technically a remake, so that's a good thing, I guess.
I think that's a better way to describe it. You're right. It's like a reimagining, not so much a remake, but I really dug that one. That one was brutal and very gory and graphic too.
Yeah. I remember in the theater when what's her name took the turkey cutter to her arm, I think. Oh. Yeah, the turkey cutter. Yeah, everybody started screaming in the theater.
Oh yeah. That scene and the scene where, I guess we can spoil things, where I forgot the character's name, but she's stuck under the car towards the end and she has to rip her.
Yeah.
Is to rip her arm, I think. Yeah, that was fun.
I need to revisit that film. Also, another one around that same time period. I think it was around there, maybe a little bit earlier, but which I think is a complete like gem of a movie. But if you go in like just watching the first half of the film, you're gonna be like, oh, like, oh, this is like some Dawson's Creek shit. But Cabin in the Woods.
Oh my gosh, yes, I love it. That movie was made for horror fans through and through, and I'm just thinking, like, just like all the time, I feel like you could watch it, rewatch it, and you'll find like newer little like digs or little Easter eggs for us horror nerds. And it's so cool, and it's funny, and it's so aware of itself. Like the whole like betting pool about like which way, you know, which way are they gonna get killed? It's such a good one. Yeah,
it really is, and it aged really well. Like I like it more than I've ever liked it before. Like when I saw it in the theater for the first time, it's a lot to process at one time, like where it's trying to go, you know, because it's like, mm-hmm. Is this a comedy? What is this? And like, okay, I understand what this is now. And yeah. You know, the second view, and it's like, oh, this is cool. Then like the third or fourth view, I'm like, oh, this is fucking a masterpiece.
Absolutely, I love. And now that you say that, like, I'm thinking about just like movies that are similar in that they're aware of themselves and they do like satire and they go the whole meta route.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the first movie to like just like revolutionize that would be Scream, 1996 Scream. That's when I started to see like that's really intelligent type of horror where it's like, we know, like, and, you know, they have a character there who's like going through what the rules are and just like it's scary, but it also has like funny moments. I know there's, you know, some people who aren't big fans of Scream, and then there's some that are huge fans. And I just, no matter what, even if you're not a fan, you have to give it respect for like revolutionizing that and starting that new way of making this type of art.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that. I'm a fan of like the first three. I haven't watched anything after the third one, I don't think, but the first one's my favorite out of all of them. And that was like the first DVD I've ever watched. It was one of them. It was like that and like what's that other one? Final Destination. I remember renting those from Blockbuster on DVD. I'm like, whoa, this is cool. That was like one of the first. I'm like, man, this is crazy. It's DVD. Like, how's it doing this? But yeah, that made an impact on me.
Oh yeah. Popping open that plastic case, getting that DVD out, hoping it wasn't too scratched from all the previous runners. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the worst, man. When they would scratch them up, you got to take them back. I'm like, God damn it. It was the same with video games, too. I used to hate that shit. Like, I can't play. This is all scratched up. Like, who had this? An animal, you know?
Yes, it's the worst. And, like, you just reminded me, like, that whole, like, nobody younger, like, the younger generations don't understand the rush that you get when you go to the video store on a Friday night and you're specifically looking for a particular movie and you go in there and you see that it's not behind the box, but then you go to the front desk and you saw that they just picked it up. Someone just returned it in the return. Mm-hmm. You're like, yes, I lucked out. They have it. It's like a rush like no other.
That was the best feeling. Just being in the video store itself, like on a Friday, like trying to get the movie that you want. Just, you know, that whole atmosphere was like electric, you know, it was so cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The kids nowadays don't know about the hunt for the right movie. They don't know. Cause it's all right there and at your fingertips now. Like you can watch anything at any time. Like you don't have to worry about it being checked out. It's all right there.
I know. They don't know the kids these days.
Damn kids. Yeah. And it's just crazy though, like you have so many choices now, and I end up like I get overwhelmed sometimes if I'm not going looking for a specific movie like I want to watch now. If I'm just trying to, like, on a Friday night, I just want to kind of watch something I don't have to think about too much, like,
yeah,
just searching for stuff is insane. There's so much shit.
Yeah, it's like sensory overload sometimes when you're scrolling through, like, okay, what do I want to watch? And then you don't realize like 45 minutes pass and you still haven't picked something. You're like, oh, too many options. I'm getting
sleepy. I have so many subscription services. I have Arrow, I have Shudder, I have Screambox, pretty much all of them, because I'm like, man, there's always something on one of these I want to watch, you know, and I'm gonna, you know. So it's just crazy. I ended up watching which is a great movie, by the way. Cable Guy. Have you ever seen? You've seen it. I'm sure he's a Cable Guy. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. It's so dark. Like, you don't realize how dark that movie was when you were a kid, but watching it now, I was like, man, this movie's fucked up.
It is. It is. Oh, wow. Like, I haven't seen it in a while, but, like, just thinking back to some of those scenes, it is dark. And I think with, you know, older and, like, getting to, like, interpret things a little differently, I'm going to have to revisit that, and I'm going to realize just how dark it is. But now that you say that, Brandon, that makes so much sense. It is really dark.
It is. And I watched it last night for, like, the 20th time, and I'm like, man, it's still really, really good. Like, it's one of Jim Carrey's best. I was a fan of Jim Carrey, like, all his shit back in the 90s and everything. But this was kind of later in his career, I guess, after, like, Ace Ventura and stuff. And you got a lot of hate for this movie because, like, it wasn't your classic Jim Carrey, because he's pretty mean in this, you know. But I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah, especially the ending. The ending is pretty dark, too, of that one.
Yeah. And I'm glad he didn't die.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he died when I was a kid, but no, he didn't. He's just, you know, he found a new friend in the helicopter and was taking him away, so.
Yep. Someone else to obsess over.
He was almost, if you think about it, he's kind of like an entity, because he never gave his real name. Nobody knew his real name. He really didn't work as a cable guy, and he would befriend people and just kind of like leech off of them and, like, you know, almost like a ghost or something, like some type of like evil spirit. That would be a cool like little side story thing going on there, like a little background thing if that was true, right?
Yeah. Hearing you say that, it's like those like cool like edited YouTube videos people do, like they'll put like dark music under like a scene that was like was intended to be comedic, and all of a sudden it's dark. Like, all you're gonna do is just put together some clips of that movie and put some dark music. You'll see how scary it could be. You're right. He's like an entity. You don't know his true identity. He like just basically just absorbs the identity of the person he's obsessed over. And like, yeah, you're right. That's a cool interpretation of it.
Yeah. And you don't even see where he lives at. It never shows house or anything like that. There's like one scene where he calls, what's his name? And he's like in a crawl space with a spider crawling over his face. Like, what? Who is this guy? You know, like.
Yeah. That's spooky. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally take that in a horror route. So. Awesome. Well, this has been great talking with you. It's been a long time coming, and I want to do this again. Maybe we can go like do some deep dives on some like 90s films or something. That'd be really cool.
I would absolutely love that, Brandon. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been so much fun chatting. I was like a little, I'm not gonna lie, I was like preparing for this. I was like, am I gonna like have mind farts and forget like the movie of like one of my favorite, like the name of one of my favorite movies? I was like, should I take notes? But no, it was like, you, as soon as you started talking to me, I felt so like chill and was able to just chat. This is what it was, just a really cool chat about our common interests and some really cool stuff. So thank you so much for having me, and I would love to come back and talk about, you know, some 90s stuff or whatever else.
Hell yeah. No, this has been a great conversation and stuff. And yeah, that I like when good conversations go like this, when they're good conversations, you know, it just kind of expands on itself. It's awesome. So.
Agreed. Yes. And if you ever come to Mahoning or make a trip, please hit me up and we'll hang out on the lot, eat popcorn and watch scary stuff. It'll be great.
Hell yeah. Well, hopefully one day that'll happen. So that'd be cool. So. But then, until then, have yourself a great rest of your weekend and stuff. And, we will talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Brandon. You have a great weekend as well.
You too. Take it easy.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.